This is the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President, Tony Perkins.
Hello and welcome to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. Coming up, no good deed goes uncriticized in the world of politics. Governor Mike Huckabee, who organized the effort that drew national attention to the plight of Kentucky Clerk of Court Kim Davis, has become a target for those on the left and even some on the right. He joins me in just a moment. And this week, the House Judiciary Committee held the first hearing on the controversial Planned Parenthood organization that has been the subject of an undercover investigation into their trafficking of baby body parts. What came of the hearing? A member of the Judiciary Committee, Trent Franks, joins me with the answer. Let me encourage you to visit the website, tonyperkins.com. You can find out more about today's topics, our guests, but also information about the upcoming Values Voter Summit, September the 25th through the 27th, right here in Washington, D.C. If you're on social media, you can follow me at T. Perkins. Also, on the website, you can find information about No Fear, my book that came out this week, Real Stories of a Courageous New Generation Standing for Truth. And it was kind of remarkable. This past Tuesday, I joined Governor Mike Huckabee and others, Matt Staver, there in Kentucky for a rally for Clerk Kim Davis. I actually had a chance to meet with her and her husband, pray with them before she was released. But when you talk about no fear, that's exactly what she showed, no fear. No fear of man, rather a greater reverence for God as she stood for religious freedom. And, you know, as she took that stand in Kentucky, it just shows where we are in this culture, in this battle over religious freedom. There are those that want us to be forced to quarantine our faith within the four walls of our churches. Friends, that is not what religious freedom is. And we need to stand firm, fight for, and defend our religious freedom. And I will tell you, one of the individuals out there doing that is my next guest, Governor Mike Huckabee, who led the rally in support of Kim Davis. Governor, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, it's great to be back. I just want to commend you. You got to be pretty smart to be able to time the release of a book called No Fear on the very day that 5,000 people gather in Kentucky to show that they're not afraid of the judicial supremacists and not afraid of even jail. And I'm glad the book is out. I think it's very timely. And I commend you for your extraordinary, impeccable timing because it was just perfect to release that book on such a day.
Well, I wish I could take credit for it, but that book was has been in the work for 5 years. I had no control over when it came out, and you know how that goes. Governor, I want to. You've taken criticism, and I expect it from the left, all right? I get that. But even criticism from the right for your stand for religious freedom and putting all of the energy and the effort to go to Kentucky and stand with a clerk of court that probably most people, you know, would never have known about had she not taken this stand for her faith and had people like you come alongside her.
It's amazing to me that people don't understand the significance of what happened when an elected county clerk was put in jail without bail by an unelected judge because she carried out not only her conscience, this is what people are missing, Tony. She also followed the only law that was in front of her, the law of Kentucky, and at that point, the law of the federal government, because even though the Supreme Court came out with a ridiculously unfounded decision, the people's representatives have not put that into a statute or to an article in which she could reasonably say, here's the law I'm operating under. And I go back to the point I've continued to make, and I think it's the point that is being missed in America. The courts can review a law. They cannot make one.
Right.
And when the Supreme Court comes out with a decision, if the elected representatives think that that's the right decision, then they should gather codified into law. And politicians can't play coward here.
Right.
If they think America wants same-sex marriage, let them stand up and vote for it in the Congress. If
right.
they don't, then we don't have that just yet.
Well, and the other thing, I had Matt Staver on yesterday, the attorney representing Kim Davis. And in fact, I flew from, and you will, more than anyone else, you'll have an appreciation for this. I was there at the rally. I had to leave early so I could fly to New York to be on a couple of Fox programs Tuesday night. And what a contrast, standing before 5,000 God-fearing Americans who were chanting, praise the Lord and singing hymns, to getting off a plane in New York City. I mean, what a contrast.
Yeah.
I mean, you understand that. But all she was asking for was accommodation for her faith, which is, we have a long track record in this country of accommodating people for their faith.
Not only do we have a long record of it, but the most recent and most egregious sense of it is that, imagine the terrorist at Gitmo. And I've been there. I visited Gitmo. I've gone to the cells of the terrorists who are detained there. We accommodate them, Tony. We give them stripes in their prison cells that point toward Mecca so they'll know which way to turn and pray. We give them prayer rugs. We give them halal meals so that they can follow their faith. And we give them five times a day special breaks so that they can pray. I just want to know if we can give terrorists at Gitmo that kind of accommodation. Are we honestly saying that you can't give a county clerk in Rowan County, Kentucky, some consideration and not force her to do something that violates her Christian conviction?
Right. It's unbelievable. That's where we are. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins, joined by Governor Mike Huckabee. Governor, what's next for Kim Davis?
Well, I think it's going to be interesting to see when next week rolls around. She's going to go back to work Monday. She has been very consistent, saying she doesn't intend to let her name be on a form. The governor can fix this very simply by simply saying he'll change the form. Now, the question is, does he have the authority to do that? And if so, under what authority? This is where this all gets very confusing, and it's why the haste to rush into implementing same-sex marriage is so ridiculous, and frankly, Tony, it's why it's so illegal, is because this has left the whole country in a state of ambiguity and confusion. I think if you look at the judge in Chattanooga, Judge Avedon, had a divorce case in front of him. Normally, it would be a simple thing. He granted. He dismissed the divorce case. He said, if the Supreme Court doesn't think that the people of Tennessee are smart enough to know when a marriage starts, then obviously they must not think we're smart enough to know when one should end. So he just dismissed the divorce case and said he's not going to be doing any divorce cases until the Supreme Court comes up with something.
Yeah, I mean, it's chaos, confusion that's been created, and this is just the beginning of what we're going to see play out here. Governor, there's some of the presidential candidates, and I give them an opportunity to come on and speak to this if they want, but they have, like Donald Trump, Carly Fiorina, and actually Jeb Bush have said that Kim Davis should resign. If she cannot comply with the judge's orders, she should resign. Obviously, you see it differently.
Well, I think it's very unfortunate that people be calling on someone to resign an elected position, because when she was elected to that position, she was operating under the Kentucky Constitution that expressly says that marriage is between a man and a woman. A constitutional amendment, by the way, Tony, that was passed by 75% of the voters of Kentucky. So that's what she was elected on. That is the job she is doing. And there is a specific statute in Kentucky law that if she just arbitrarily changes the wording of the marriage license, that's a felony. So here's the question. Which law does she follow? The ambiguous and unconstitutional judicial tyranny ruling of the Supreme Court that has not yet been codified? Or does she follow the specific constitutional and statutory requirements under Kentucky law under which she was elected? And I just really am disappointed that some of the people think that the way to handle this is to just have public officials resign their jobs because they're going to go ahead and surrender to what Jefferson called judicial tyranny.
Yeah. Governor, we're up against a break. I got 1 minute, but I do want to ask as a parting question to you, how significant of an issue is religious freedom and liberty going to be in the 2016 presidential election? I mean, we see it now, but is this going to continue to be an issue in this election cycle?
Tony, it has to be. It needs to be. And if it isn't, we're not just going to lose an election, we're going to lose our country. And the reason I say that is because even if we get the money of America fixed and the military of America fixed, if we don't get the morality of America fixed, we aren't going to survive as a great republic. We have to be able to believe what we wish without the government limiting that, or we've lost all the freedoms, not just religious liberty.
Well said. I agree 100% with you. Governor Mike Huckabee, to find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. You know what? His words reminded me of something that Ronald Reagan said in August of 1984. He said, "Without God, there is no virtue, because there is no prompting of the conscience. Without God, we're mired in the material, that flat world that tells us only what the senses perceive. Without God, there is a coarsening of the society. And without God, democracy will not and cannot long endure. If we ever forget that we're one nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under." Folks, don't go away. When we come back on this edition of Washington Watch, this weekend edition, we'll be joined by Congressman Trent Franks of Arizona to talk about what the House did this week in their first hearing on Planned Parenthood. That's next here on the weekend edition of Washington Watch. On September 25th through the 27th, plan to be at this year's Values Voter Summit in Washington, D.C. to stand alongside thousands of like-minded Americans who want to see our country return to the founding principles of faith, family, and freedom. Confirmed and invited speakers include Mike Huckabee, Rick Santorum, the Benham Brothers, Dr. Ben Carson, Sean Hannity, Glenn Beck, Bill O'Reilly, Franklin Graham, Megyn Kelly, Governors Bobby Jindal, Scott Walker, Mary Fallon, Jeb Bush, and Sam Brownback. Senators Ted Cruz, Tim Scott, Marco Rubio, and Rand Paul, Representative Paul Ryan, and many more. Today's hottest topics will be addressed: religious liberty, life and marriage, national security, government overreach, and much more. Register before May 1st for just $99 at valuesvotersummit.org. That's valuesvotersummit.org. This September, stand with us to preserve this great nation. Values Voter Summit is sponsored by FRC Action, AFA Action, American Values, Liberty Institute, Ohio Christian University, and Family Research Council. Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So glad to have you with us this weekend. Again, the website, TonyPerkins.com. You can find out more about our guest, about the topics that we're discussing today. Also, information about the Values Voter Summit. Now, this is just weeks away, September the 25th through the 27th here in Washington, D.C. We'll have a number of the presidential candidates, conservative leaders, Republican leaders. It's filling up quick, but there's still room for you if you go to TonyPerkins.com and follow the links over and register today. I hope you'll be with us. Also, information about No Fear, a book that came out this week, Real Stories of a Courageous New Generation Standing for Truth. Now, if you want to be encouraged, I'm just going to tell you, maybe I'm a little biased, but this will do it. It's not about me. It's about the stories of young people, not young people that lived 100 years ago, but young people living today in various settings, in elementary school, high school, college, in the workplace, that made the choice to have no fear of man, but rather to have a reverence and a fear of God. It's a choice they had to make. And it tells those stories. It also tells stories of the biblical foundation for living with no fear. Again, you can find out more about that by going to the website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, well, earlier this week, the House Judiciary Committee held its first hearing regarding the undercover work done by the Center for Medical Progress into Planned Parenthood selling of fetal body parts. Congressman Trent Franks had some passionate words while responding to Priscilla Smith, who was the director of the Yale Law School's Program for the Study of Reproductive Justice, who supports the actions of Planned Parenthood. Franks said when they came into Planned Parenthood, they were living, feeling human children, and they died while they were there. Don't forget that these were once little babies that were killed at the hands of Planned Parenthood, end quote. I wholeheartedly agree, and we must not let America forget that either. Joining me now to highlight this week's hearing is a member of the House Judiciary Committee and the representative from the 8th Congressional District of Arizona, our good friend, Congressman Trent Franks. Trent, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony.
Congressman, let me just start with this. What was your main takeaway from this hearing this week?
Well, Tony, on the one hand, I was so encouraged that we had a lot of awakening on the pro-life side of the fence. But I was horrified at how polarized the left has become and how entrenched they are in what is nothing less than a completely evil mindset. The one witness there, when she was asked whether or not she thought dismemberment was a humane thing, answered in the affirmative. She said, if it's pre-viable, sure. She didn't say sure. I want to be very specific, but she indicated that if it's pre-viable, that she favors.
Well,
that it's not inhumane.
Chairman Goodlatte had a response to that that I thought so encapsulated where we are. He said, we have different definitions of humanity or what's humane.
Yeah.
And I really think, Trent, that shows this divide, this expanse that stands between the so-called left and right is a fundamental difference of what life is.
Well, that's true, Tony. You know, I have absolutely every conviction that God is on his throne and he's going to prevail here. But in human terms, if Christians and people of goodwill and people who have a respect for their fellow human beings don't begin to assert themselves soon, the barbarians are going to overrun the gates. And I can't believe that we're having to debate some of these with the radical left. They seem to have no line that can be crossed that brings them any sort of shame or reticence. And this is probably the perfect example. You know, a lot of the left always says, well, we should be dealing with important issues. We shouldn't be this whole idea of all this abortion stuff, you know. But here's the bottom line. The entire purpose of government was to make sure that the weak and their rights, their fundamental rights, were not taken by those who didn't believe in fundamental rights. It's simply because they were stronger, they would overpower the weak. That, we said, okay, we have to have a collective here that will defend the weaker members of our society from the stronger ones who have no compunction
right
about taking their rights away. That's the purpose of government, and nothing is more fundamental to that than protecting the lives of those who are completely helpless. There are no more helpless human beings that I know of on this planet than unborn children. And yet, they are in the free fire zone in America. And the left is all too comfortable with that. And I really fear for them because I think there are two questions I would ask the left. What if these really are babies? And what if there really is a God?
Mm.
Those are things that, if I had to ask in their position, there would be great trembling in my life if I held their position.
That's profound. I mean, if you have to stop for a moment and answer those two questions, I cannot imagine how we could proceed as a nation with what we've been doing for 43 years since the court decided, almost 43 years since the court decided Roe v. Wade. But now, Congressman, as the curtain has been pulled back once again, very clearly in this case with the Center for Medical Progress showing these videos, and over half of America has seen or read about these videos, as you described, where Planned Parenthood is trafficking in human body parts of these babies. But that's being facilitated. It's being facilitated by taxpayers. Taxpayers are forced into this partnership to the tune of over $500 million a year. What's it going to take to end that?
Well, I have to tell you, first of all, if America doesn't regain her conscience, we're in pretty serious trouble. But there's only two ways that we can, in the long run, or really significantly in the short run, change public policy in America. Only two. We can either elect the right people, or we can beg the wrong ones to do the right thing. For the short run, that second equation is all we have. We have to beg the wrong ones to do the right thing. That means there are a lot of right people in the government. They'll do the right thing, but the ones that are the wrong ones, we're going to have to somehow overcome them. And right now, our greatest challenge for bills like the Pain Capable Bill, which if it had been law, as you know, these things that Planned Parenthood would have done, would have been felonies.
Right.
And we would have been able to deal with it because the vast call for these little body parts of babies are for the older babies, the more mature little babies. And Pain Capable would protect them from the 6 months forward. And that would have given us a tremendous leverage. So that's really the ultimate answer, because even if we defunded Planned Parenthood tomorrow, which I have said the sands of time ought to blow over the Capitol before we give Planned Parenthood another dime, but even if we did that, it wouldn't stop them from killing these babies exactly like they did on the video.
Right.
What we have to do is to make it where we protect the children, because as evil and insidious and horrifying as it is that they're trafficking in body parts, there's something even more evil, insidious, and horrifying, and that is they're killing these little children in painful, horrifying ways before they do it.
Right.
That the only reason these body parts are available is because they murdered the children that they once belonged to. And there is the real horror. There is the real horror. We are, you know, as human beings, taken back by this insidious notion that someone would take the little lungs and heart and brain of little children and sell them. It's beyond, I mean, it's Mengele all over again. But the real horror is that the killing that takes place every day is hidden from us. We don't see that video. We see the aftermath, but we don't see what really happens to the child in those moments before they die, where they cry and scream, but because it's amniotic fluid going into the vocal cords instead of air, we can't hear them. That's the real horror, and we have to get to that. And right now, the biggest stumbling block that we have in the Congress, we can pass legislation to protect the unborn child in the House. We can pass it in the Senate, but we can't get past the Senate filibuster. The Senate filibuster requires 60 senators to vote to proceed, on a motion to proceed, on anything of consequence. And that means if there's only 60 senators on the floor, we still got to have 60 senators. And right now, we don't have hardly any Democrats that are willing to stand up and say, at least I'll give you a vote. At least I'll let you have an honest vote in the Senate. They won't even allow a vote. Right now, they think they can stop even considering the Iran bill or anything that would defund Planned Parenthood or anything that would give the slightest protection to unborn children. We can't get a fair vote in the Senate. And it is a disgrace that completely robs me of, or the English language, or the ability to truly articulate.
You're listening to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins, joined by my good friend, Congressman Trent Franks of Arizona. And I'll have to be very candid. I'm hard-pressed to find, to think of another member of Congress that has done more to advocate for the unborn in our society than Congressman Trent Franks. Congressman, we just have a couple minutes left. I want to step back for just a moment, because you have laid out the political landscape, all right, and the hill is steep. The opposition appears to be overwhelming. And you talk about the horrors of abortion, and you are, I couldn't have articulated it better myself. But as a nation, and if I can for a moment, and if you'll allow me, I want to address this from more of a spiritual standpoint, because we've got Christians across the country listening to this program right now. You've laid out the political obstacles that face us, and you know, I think maybe we need to turn to another source of strength. But as a nation, we are accountable for what we know, and we do know now, without excuse, what Planned Parenthood is doing. I tremble for my nation, for this country, to move forward in choosing the wrong path when we now know what's happening in these abortion clinics across the nation. I mean, we've known that. You've known it. I've known it. Many have known it. But now a majority of the nation knows what's taking place. Is it time for Christians to cry out to God and ask Him to move the hearts of these in positions of leadership to do the right thing?
Well, Tony, I always believe that. I always have every conviction that God is the answer to all of humanity's problems. But you know, for some reason, and I don't understand it, all through history, God has always done His part, but He's required us to do ours, and that He ultimately wins the battle. But what happens in history is oftentimes directly reflective of man's responsibility or irresponsibility. And for some reason, we are created to be responsible and to listen to God's foundational precepts. And when we don't, it brings great suffering upon us and upon those we love and upon the greater human family. And right now, you are so right. We have seen the evil of Planned Parenthood and the murder of these little children that rivals almost anything that happened on the altars of Baal. And if we don't, as a nation, say no, we reject that, I'm afraid we'll bring great sorrow upon all of us.
Congressman, let me just say, Congressman Franks, I, for one, and speaking, I think I can speak on literally 4 million of Americans across this country, that we are grateful for your leadership, for your articulation of our concerns, our passion for the unborn, and for righteousness in America. And I know that this sometimes is a very difficult and lonely path that Christians in your position have to walk. But no, you're not alone. There are many praying for you and holding up your hands. And just stay the course, as we will continue to come behind you and advocate for and articulate the same message that in America, we need to welcome all children into this world, into the family, and protect them under our laws. Congressman, thanks so much for being with us this weekend.
Thank you, Tony. God bless Family Research Council.
All right, that was Congressman Trent Franks. You know, occasionally I do this, but let me encourage you. Oftentimes I get you to sign petitions, and we do have a petition up on the website about Planned Parenthood. Also have one about Kim Davis. But let me ask you to do this. Do me a favor. Go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. You can follow the links over to Congressman Trent Franks' site. And I want to ask you just to send him a note to say thank you. Look, I talk with members of Congress each and every day. Many are very close friends, Trent being among them. This is a difficult path. This is a dark place. It's a hard city. And to articulate these issues, to defend them, to champion them, comes not at just a political cost of opposition, but, you know, we wrestle not with flesh and blood. And these are challenging, difficult, and critical times for our nation. So I want to encourage you, pray for our nation. Right now, just take a few moments, pray for America. Pray for the hearts of these leaders that they would be turned to choose life and a blessing and not death and a curse. Well, folks, we're out of time. Thanks so much for being with us. Again, the website, TonyPerkins.com. And I leave you once again with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul, found in Ephesians chapter 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed and the Lord has set your course and you've taken your stand, no matter what you face, no matter the challenges, just keep standing.
The weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you've heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can help support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234.